Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Monday, March 20th, 2023. In 2015 and 2016, animal and human bones were dug out of a lawn behind the university library on the campus of the Freie Universität Berlin, or the FU Berlin. However, the first find was never sufficiently investigated because the bones were burned. The president of FU Berlin, Gunter M. Ziegler, does not see the university as being to blame for this, stating, quote, "There were very unfortunate gaps in coordination at the time, which led to the fact that the forensic pathologist at the time arranged for the bones and the finds to be cremated without FU being informed," unquote. After a public outcry, a team of university archaeologists conducted further excavations, and about 16,000 bone fragments and parts were recovered. Some of the remains belonged to rabbits and rats, which were used as lab animals, but there were also human bones. In the immediate vicinity of the site is Innestrasse 22, an address closely associated with the Auschwitz concentration camp and inhumane racial investigations. Today, there is a plaque on the building. The Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Anthropology, Human Heredity, and Eugenics was located there from 1927 until 1945, and it was in this building that Josef Mengele's twin research was planned, and the organs of selected and murdered prisoners were examined in the name of science. President Ziegler is certain that the human bones found were originating from that building, and stated, quote, "These are all bones from the contexts of this Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, most of them certainly from the ethnological collections, which therefore also contains bones from colonial crimes, but which may also contain bones from grave robberies around the globe," unquote. He added that it is impossible to say with certainty whether bone fragments from Nazi crimes were also included, and none of the victims could be identified by name. It is precisely for this reason that a group of researchers is calling for the bones to be studied more intensively. Following the discovery of the bones, there were meetings at the International Holocaust Memorial Yad Vashem in Israel in an attempt to develop recommendations for dealing with these and other finds. Among them is Sabine Hildebrandt, a professor of pediatrics. She conducts research on the medical history of anatomy in the Third Reich at Harvard Medical School in Boston and other places. She believes more research is needed to learn more about the victims and reconstruct their biographies. For her, it's, quote, "about honoring the individual and the persecuted group, and it's about remembering the history of injustice and its implications for the present," unquote. But the university did not follow her recommendations. For Hildebrandt, a planned history project that's supposed to shed light on the atrocities at Innestrasse 22 does not go far enough. Together with historians, she advocates that the entire building be rededicated as a memorial and educational site. The Freie Universität Berlin, the Max Planck Society as the successor to the Kaiser Wilhelm Society, and the Berlin State Office for the Preservation of Historical Monuments have decided that the bones will be buried at the Waldfriedhof Cemetery in Dahlem on Thursday. The decision was made in consultation with groups of potential victims, including the Central Council of Jews in Germany, and it informed RBB in writing that, quote, "no further invasive examinations of the bones should be carried out. We categorically reject a differentiation of the bone finds according to certain groups, as this would reproduce the racist methods of the past," unquote. There is agreement on this procedure with other groups, like the Initiative of Black People in Germany and the Central Council of German Sinti and Roma. According to the FU Berlin, the funeral will be a ceremony with a dignified framework, neither religious nor Eurocentric. The human remains will be buried together as victims of science. In a paper to be discussed in the current coalition negotiations between the CDU and the SPD, the BVG has outlined a vision for expanding public transportation in the future. It proposes 171 kilometers of new U-Bahn lines, plus additional tram and bus lines and a possible cable car. Per the proposal, all U-Bahn lines would be extended and an entirely new ring line that would create fast connections between major centers in the suburbs would be built. The BVLG summarizes its vision under the title Express Metropole Berlin. According to them, the company sees gaps in the development of the outer districts as well as a lack of efficient connections, while the inner city is disproportionately developed. The future plan is divided into three phases. In the first phase, existing lines will be extended. The extensions could create fast, direct connections for up to 1 million people outside the center of Berlin. Proposals include extending the U2 to Falkenhagenerfeld and the U9 via Lankwitz to Buchauerstrasse. The U1 could go via Westkreuz to the Park and Ride lot at Heerstrasse and in the other direction via Landsberger Allee to Antonplatz. In a second step, the vision calls for two longer new line branches. The U3 could continue from Wittenbergplatz via Alexanderplatz to Greifswalderstrasse and the Falkenberg district of Lichtenberg. For the U4, currently Berlin's shortest line, an extension via the Hauptbahnhof, Rosa-Luxemburg-Platz, and Landsberger Allee to Glambecker Ring in Marzahn is part of the vision. The third stage will be a new ring line, the U0, which will run outside the S-Bahn ring except for a small section. The BVLG also referred to Vienna and especially to Paris, where extensive subway expansion is also planned. In Berlin, the BVLG's vision is for more than a doubling of the U-Bahn lines. The existing network covers 147 kilometers. In the future, it would be 318. Berlin is currently working on an extension of the U3 from the current terminus in Krummelanke to Mexikoplatz. And the Budget Committee of the House of Representatives also recently decided to allocate funding for the extension of the U7 to BER and to Heerstrasse in Spandau. Both the SPD and the CDU are considered supporters of the extensions, but have not yet agreed on concrete plans in the exploratory talks. The aim is to improve mobility services, especially in the outer districts. In 2017, the first red swamp crayfish, or Louisiana crayfish, were spotted in Berlin on the meadows and paths in the Tiergarten. Since then, we have mentioned these little critters every year, and the city has been trying to stop the spread of the invasive species. So far, without success. In the meantime, Procambaurus clarki, as it is scientifically known, has been detected in 31 Berlin waters. A year ago, it was only found in 23. Not only does the red swamp crayfish reproduce quickly, it's also very migratory and extremely voracious. That's why it's considered a threat to native species and ecosystems. Although it's been found in 31 bodies of water, it's not possible to make a reliable statement about the size of the population. Nevertheless, the numbers are impressive where the crayfish are caught. In Britzer Garten and Tiergarten, a total of 839 kilos of red American crayfish and Camber crayfish were caught between June and September of 2022. Given the relentless spread of the crayfish, the only option for the administration is to minimize its impact on biodiversity. For example, the European eel, which as the natural counterpart of the American red crayfish in Berlin's open waters, could help to contain the further spread of the population. On Friday, a World War II aerial bomb was found during construction work in Zehlendorf. It is located at the corner of Belepstrasse and Dahlewitzstrasse, and the bomb is to be defused this morning. Therefore, a 500-meter exclusion zone will be set up starting at 8 a.m., and it's not yet known how many people will be affected. Per the police, it is planned that all restrictions and closures in the affected area will be lifted by 6 p.m. The district of Steglitz-Zehlendorf has set up a shelter run by the German Red Cross in the sports hall at Onkeltamstrasse 58. The shelter is intended for those who cannot stay with relatives, acquaintances, or friends during the duration of the demolition. The exclusion zone also includes parts of the Bering Hospital and the S-Bahn. For example, the S1 will be interrupted during the bomb disposal. For more information about the evacuation area, please follow the link in our show notes. If you like our podcast, you can support us with a donation or simply help others discover us by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.